that's what we're working on, like production, really. You know what I'm saying? That's from the time our last album, that's what we've been doing on this time period, working on our beats, production, working on our.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. We're day 5 into the road trip. We are now living in a world where UVA lost as the number one seed to Baltimore something, something, something. The Golden Retrievers.
University of Maryland, something, Baltimore.
The dog. Yeah. They have a Golden Retriever.
They have a retriever.
They're all good retrievers, Brent. That's what We Rate Dogs tweeted out.
So UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
And we just got an update that, was it, who got upset again that I told you about?
TCU.
TCU got upset, which is going to be bad because we're going to have rioting in the streets here in Dallas.
I think TCU is far enough away that we should be fine.
Yeah, but it's TCU. They're weirdos. But anyway, Alan, you're drinking a delicious Yon Bandana from Blue Fire Brewing.
Yes.
We'll start off and say that one of the things we did today was I dropped yesterday a line of there's a new brewery opening. It got really good reviews, so dropped them a line when I saw that it was the only one in the area near our hotel, and they're opening tomorrow, and we need to leave tomorrow. So I'm like, hey, dude, are you doing any soft openings, whatever? He's like, nah, but come around before 5, and we can get a group. I'll sample some beers. So we went over there, brought some Who Farted beers, gave it some of them, and we got... sampled some of their beers, absolutely fantastic, and they gave us some cans, and I'm going to be opening up one of them, and this is a Turning Point beer in Bedford, Texas.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. Do you have some of those spicy nuts, or did you eat them all?
I ate them all.
Oh, you ate them all? Okay. All of a sudden, my stomach started like getting really growly for some odd reason. I don't know
why. Well, you know what? I can go out and guess In-N-Out.
No, we're not doing In-N-Out.
You sure?
Yes, I'm very sure. No, this is like a snack, not a meal sort of growly. This is more of a, I would have a few fries sort of growly. Like, as in, like, my stomach is in pain.
Right.
Not, oh, I'm famished. Anyway.
I can run out and get some snacks from the car later.
Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, I can do that now.
Yeah, go do that now. Right. I'll explain the beer.
Talk about the beer.
I'll talk about the beer. We're doing this live, everyone. So, we go there. We hang out, we talk a little bit. They're setting up for tomorrow's opening. So if you guys are in the area, go check out Turning Point Beer, Bedford, Ohio. Just bring the whole snack thing in.
Yeah, I can.
Cool. Anyways, I'm really, really, I don't know what happened. Sorry, texts are coming in. So we got 3 beers from them. We got Texas with a dollar sign. Yes, that's the reference. We got... some pulp pale ale, which I'm going to be opening in a second. And we also got double hopped India pale ale from them. Excuse me. And we sampled them all, and they're all delicious. So I'm going to be opening up. Ah, there we go. Some pulp from Turning Point. They gave us. We did a beer trade in person, and additionally, I bought some. I bought a shirt, I bought a hat, and I bought a glass. The hat's pretty dope, I got to say. I probably should grab that hat, actually, and wear it, because it looks dopey. No, dope. Never mind. Anyway, but they also gave us a little bit of free samples, so that's just a heads up on our front that, hey, you know, we might as well be transparent about what happened, you know. But super great, guys, so if you're ever in the area, if you're ever at Six Flags over Texas or in Dallas-Fort Worth, check these guys out. They're the only guys in town doing New England style IPAs, and they're dank and hazy and all that fun jazz that I love out of my beers, and so does everyone else. But anyway, enough of that. Alan's going to go get some snacks, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about Six Flags over Texas. So hang on, everyone. And we're back, everyone. And we have snacks, which is what everyone loves. When podcasting. It says easy open, but I don't see... Oh, there we go.
You got it.
There we go.
Yeah, we got these free bags of hot nuts at Six Flags over Texas. I ate mine all the way up here.
Part of the Bimbo group.
Yeah.
They're legit.
Yeah, they're actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ate mine already. So
chili pepper and lime. Cookies. Double crunch hot nuts. Original. They're really good. Yeah. I like the lime.
Yeah. There's a nice flavor to them. Yeah, basically the brew was awesome. I didn't drink as much as I usually would have because I just had like a raging migraine. After that, we ended up actually coming back here and I took a nap and I tried to nap it off and eventually I just drugged it off with prescription meds. Because I wasn't going to let it ruin my day, goddammit. But, so for the most part, today was Six Flags.
So today was a great day.
Today was a great day. So I think we should start
to, to start off, like, with Craig Ferguson, today's a great day to be in America.
Yes, absolutely. I think we should go over, like, sort of some of the negative things first, just to get them out of the way. Because then otherwise people will sit there and be like, oh, you guys are being shills or whatever. Or ridiculous.
Well, do you want to talk about Six Flags, or do you want to talk about our other thing we did today?
We did something else other than the brewery. Oh. Wait, was Whataburger today?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
My God.
So we went to Whataburger for our first time.
Yeah.
And that was huge.
Huge. I don't think I was aware. I know I've had Whataburger before, but it's been a long time. Like, probably 2002 was the last time I had Whataburger, which is practically, like, a different lifetime.
Yeah.
It's probably, that's longer than, you know, some of the people listening to this have possibly been alive.
Yes.
So, the burgers are huge.
Massive.
They're fried, clearly, which is not bad. I mean, like, if you go online and read anybody's, like, perfect hamburger, it's usually, like, in a cast iron skillet, so.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Say, like, well, like 8-9 inches in diameter.
Yeah, they're like a good 25% larger than anybody else's burgers.
Yeah, and then I think the one thing that really makes them stand out, like the American cheese is basically just American cheese slices.
Yeah,
the beef is just kind of like it's good beef.
Good beef, yeah.
It's good beef. It's really like the condiments because it's like chopped onion, you know, cut tomato, you know, chopped lettuce on there.
Fresh condiments, fresh toppings.
They toast the bun.
I think everything tasted great. I really like it.
I really liked it, too. The fries were really good, too. They're more of a standard fry. They're not like that crinkle cut type thing that we've seen at a lot of places. Like, you go to, like, Shake Shack, for instance.
Or Raising Cane's.
Yeah, Raising Cane's. But good fries. And very nice and hot.
Everything came out fresh. Everything came out good.
For a giant burger, really reasonable price, I thought. It was, like, $7 or whatever it was. Yeah, I can't say anything but good things about Whataburger. Now, of course, the thing is, of course, comparing them to In-N-Out, we're going to go have In-N-Out tomorrow. We want to be fresh in our minds. My recollection of In-N-Out, the last time I had In-N-Out, was that it was better than this. But that's a recollection.
Yes.
And there's something that's closer to that. This would be closer to objective truth to have it back-to-back days. There was no way that we were going to have it today because
we're full and tired and
yeah, and once we got to Six Flags, it was like, you're not going to leave Six Flags to go get more In-N-Out.
No.
So Six Flags itself.
And how would you compare it to Freddy's?
Ooh, you know, that's a good question.
I think I may like the burger.
I kind of like Freddy's more.
So, I think I may like the beef better at Freddy's. But I think everything else better at Whataburger.
I think that's fair. I agree with that.
The only problem I have with the beef at Freddy's is that it's so flat that it got so smushed that it just was exploding everywhere.
Yeah.
But Whataburger's held up much better. But Freddy's was so thin that it had that crispy caramelization to it.
Yeah.
That Whataburger kind of was getting to, but wasn't there fully.
I think if you could take the cheese and the burger patties from Freddy's and import it to the Whataburger pack, like Whataburger bun and condiments, like you'd have.
And
like,
fries.
Yeah.
I think their fries are better.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Because they have the really, really thin cut, like
shoestring.
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't understand how you eat shoestring fries. Like, they don't really work with a fork.
You eat them 10 at a time. That's what you do.
I know. It's just a pain in the ass. Like, I want a fry, like, or, like, two fries, not, like, a fistful. It's just wild. Just
chopsticks of fries. Just, like, they're so small. Anyway, yeah. Six Flags.
So, okay. So, let's get the negative things out of the way first. Okay. Let's go with that. So, first things first. The Six Flags have the same level of show as, I mean, forget Orlando. Like, everyone knows that's not the case. I don't think they have the same level of show as Cedar Fair.
Busch.
For the most part, Busch or Herschen. I mean, like,
no,
you,
not
you
even.
can't compare, like, Silver Dollar Sea to Six Flags Over Texas
no.
at that level at all.
Or even Kings Island.
Or even Kings Island. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that Six Flags Over Texas doesn't have nice stuff? No. It has a lot of really nice stuff. It has a lot of good infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that, you know, was interesting for us to see was that map of, you know, early Six Flags Over Texas
mm-hmm.
that they had in the France section, you know, showing the history of the park. And you look at that map, and then you think about that map versus the map of, like, Disneyland opening year. And there's way more similarities than there are differences in terms of what the attractions were that they were offering.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, like, jungle cruise-type attractions. There were canoe boats. It was mostly scenic rides, like, very slow scenic rides.
Like Disneyland.
Like Disneyland. You know, and yeah. you know, there was a clear, you know, set of themes based around Texas. And obviously, over time, that slowly got whittled away and replaced with what Six Flags is now. But a lot of that old infrastructure, a lot of those buildings are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they look great, for the most part. They actually look pretty good. And
considering all things.
Considering all things. You know, the fact that there's, like, random, you know, advertisements and crappy games booths that have been thrown in between them. But there's areas where you walk around, especially at nighttime, like mm-hmm. in the Mexico section.
Yeah.
And going back, even, like, the France area is pretty nice. And
mm-hmm.
there's a few different areas like that, Spain to some degree. That are still really, really nice. And there's a lot of things that they've kept, like on the train ride. A lot of the figures that were on the old Xochimilco attraction have been moved over to that.
Yeah.
And they still have them, you know, moving around and
talking
and whatever.
Being racist.
Being racist. That's, you know, that's pretty much it's a fundamental truth of every theme park from that period.
Good point, yes.
I mean, it's not like Disney doesn't have the Indians still...
In Pirates, in Jungle Cruise, yeah.
Yeah, or not in Jungle, the Jungle Cruise is, like, obvious, too.
Yeah.
With the savages and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then, and the headhunters, but then also on the Rivers of America,
mm-hmm.
you still have, you basically have the same diorama there as you do it on the train ride at Six Flags Over Texas.
Fair.
You know, that's just, it's what it is. It's, mm-hmm. it's a product of its time. And it's not surprising either, given that Six Flags was... You know, basically had, like, it was a Confederacy.
It had something with the Confederacy that they kind of wanted to forget people they had, so they call it Old America or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They call it, like, the old
South.
Old South, and, like, but there was, like, a Confederacy recruitment depot was, like, one of the original attractions.
Yeah.
So you could be, like, a soldier in gray or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was out there.
It's stuff that would never fly now, but.
But looking back at that old map, you kind of can see a point where if Disney made one or two bad decisions, they could have been like Six Flags Over Texas.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the Jungle Cruise could now be home to a aero suspended coaster yeah. And
a B&M multi-looper and a bad wood coaster from Din and Summers and the rest of it. Like,
and there would be like a viper like on like all across like the Tom Sawyer Island, and you know, like as much as I rag on Michael Eisner, and I rightfully so for some stuff, like at least he kind of kept that quality up and pushed them to where they are now.
Yeah, I think everybody that's out there in the fandom that's old enough to have remembered
mm-hmm.
Eisner being in charge, like everybody wanted him out of there at the end.
But he did some good stuff.
But you know, ultimately, there's a lot of really, really good things that he did. Like,
mm-hmm.
he pushed the company in a lot of ways that his predecessors didn't. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know it's an unpopular viewpoint, but Epcot, for example, is basically just sort of a copy of what was already done at Future World,
mm-hmm.
expanded into a second gate with the rationale that it was, you know, essentially cost savings to have other people pay for your stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eisner... You know, clearly there was some stuff that they cheaped out on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Disney Studios Paris, right?
Well, that's a whole nother thing. Like,
that's a whole nother thing.
Well, I'm looking more at the early years with Wells.
Yeah.
Before Eisner got scared and Pressler was brought in.
But I think like some of the mythology of what the Disney company is and what it mm-hmm. stands for as far as like rides and experiences mm-hmm. comes from that era.
Yeah.
And the rides that were built in that, you know, 1980s, 1990s time period with stuff like Splash Mountain
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, Tower of Terror.
Star Tours.
Like, those are rides that are, you know, that really raise the bar in a way that had not been done since probably the late 1960s.
Since Pirates.
Yeah, since Pirates and Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easy to forget that fact or ignore that, I think.
I think ignore.
Yeah. I think people, I agree with that. I think the other thing, like, there's other rides, obviously, like, you know, Horizons and World of Motion and things like that were, you know, big, long rides, but they weren't the same as Tower of Terror. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, I mean, yeah. Well, I think
they were based around, like, concepts of, you know, futurism rather than sort of, like...
World of Motion I liked a lot.
Yeah.
But when you boarded it, it was a bunch of 80s carpet everywhere and the ride path was submerged underneath a fake path of, like, blue carpet.
Yeah.
Of 80s. Like, let's make not...
Yeah.
Versus something like Indiana Jones, where everything looks like it's real. It's not like a diorama. Right.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, it's a good history lesson for people to realize, like, the theme parks that are the regional parks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they started out... Six Flags Over Texas and Disneyland were much closer together when they opened than they were different. Like, much closer.
Yeah.
It, like, the differences between the two, like, the biggest differences are things that ultimately Disneyland adopted, like pay one price admission.
Yeah.
Because Six Flags was the first major theme park to adopt pay one price, and Disney followed it. That's why we talk about E&D and B tickets and the rest of it.
Yep.
Because Six Flags got rid of that idea, effectively. But in any case, So, clearly, like, Six Flags doesn't have that same level of detail, I think, that a lot of those other parks have, even though it does have some stuff that's left over. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like when we were on Runaway Mountain, you know, the water effects weren't working. You know, different stuff on the dark rides. Like, there'd be little things on Yosemite Sam, I think, more glaring items on Justice League. They had one screen back up today. The ending on Justice League was fixed, at least. So somebody flipped the switch on that.
And you saw a lot of the complaints I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely some fit and finish items. Like, the one thing that you were complaining about was on... we got a fast pass today, and we'll talk about the use of the flash pass later. But we used that for Batman, and basically their Batman path took you directly to the backstage.
It was their emergency evacuation route.
Yeah, and you were... You literally were looking at, like, the old Batmobiles. Like, one of them had a tarp over it.
The other one had, like, no tires and was, like, on blocks, basically.
Yeah, you could open a gate and walk into the backstage areas where they had, you know, their dumpsters and compactors and...
Christmas decorations,
floats. Like, all that stuff was just blatantly out there.
It was, like, a less cleaned up and less polished version of what you see at Horror Nights. Except it's every day.
Yeah.
And for all your incredibly, you know, high-paying customers.
Yeah, it's... You'd think, like, okay, like, at least put up a fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can put up an opaque fence, like a wood fence, and do this, have the same stuff.
Yeah.
And then nobody can see it, but, you know, that costs a little bit more money than chain link. There's a lot of chain link fence that, you know, like, for instance, when we were riding Texas Giant, and I was thinking about if we were walking up the path, like, if you had a wood fence there, instead of a chain link fence with barbed wire to try and prevent people from climbing over. Like, how much cleaner and nicer would that be? Even if it was white picket, that way it had pointy parts, so it would be difficult to climb over. Just things like little things like that, you know, cost a little bit more money, that kind of Six Flags looks at and goes, we can save some money on this, save some money on that.
Or their legal team goes...
Or their legal team is like...
You have to do this, or you pay way more money and do this, and they go, okay, we'll just do that.
Yeah, we'll just do that. And I think that, you know, that stuff is definitely a bummer at Six Flags. And, you know, you can't miss that. I will say that I think that they've made strides overall compared to the darkest days of the Gary Story era to make the infrastructure a little bit better. But there's still a lot to do. Like, Six Flags Over Texas is like a maze walking around it because...
Yeah.
You can easily...
There's so much stuff they've just plopped everywhere.
So you're constantly trying to find your way through these buildings that it's a very nonsensical layout. It's not really a classic.
You can't walk without running into some place to buy something.
Yeah.
Which may be by design, because you always will run into some place you could drop money for a beer or a funnel cake or a game. or a merch stand or what have you.
Yeah. But at some point, it's like, you guys gotta, like, take a couple of those things out of the middle of the midway.
You need breathing room.
Because people have to get to things.
Like, it's not like, it's not like King's Island, where they have these, or King's Dominion, the King's Parks, where you have these massive 40-foot wide
midways,
yeah. And then you have a 10-foot wide, you know, station spaced every, you know, 40 feet down the middle of it. It's like they just kind of, someone sneezed and it just kind of, like, all the confetti landed all over the...
Here's a wild thought. You know what it reminds me of? Because it's actually at a very similar scale, even with the shops and whatnot. Uh-huh. Is, I hate to make this comparison. I'm not making this comparison on the basis of how good it is thematically.
Uh-huh.
Harry Potter, because it's a very tight space, mm-hmm. with the walkways. The buildings are basically, you know, the correct scale of human beings.
Uh-huh.
And you go in, and everything's pretty much small, very, very not much space in each of the individual locations,
uh-huh.
or restaurants, you know, which is always a complaint. And then on a day like today, when you're at Six Flags Over Texas, and it's packed, like...
I would say definitely Hogsmeade, not Diagon Alley.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
But Hogsmeade, yeah, because Hogsmeade has those, has the, what sticks out for me with Hogsmeade is that they have the food stands and the, do you want another one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go find another one.
Yep.
Get the Creature Comforts or whatever the other one is in there. They have, Hogsmeade has the butterbeer carts and some of those sale carts outside. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That one came... Yeah, that's a good one. That one's from Atlanta. So, like, you can run into them and see them, and there's, you know, it's very crowded. But, you know, Diagon Alley is a little more streamlined. But I understand where you're coming from with that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... It's, like I said, I don't want to compare the two from a level of, like... They're not at the same level of quality. Like, there's no way. It's... You know, the Six Flags stuff is pretty much generic items. Lots of DC
Minions.
Stuff everywhere.
Minions, even?
Yeah. Just whatever we'll sell to kids. Lots of fidget spinners. Clearly, Six Flags invested heavily in fidget spinners last year.
Yeah.
And now they have to get rid of it.
Hope you like this. This is a good beer.
All right. I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's definitely issues and things that I'd love to see them improve.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that as they start continuing to look at different things to improve in the parks, those little things, just the same way that Cedar Fair has started to look at those little things and improve them slowly but surely, mm-hmm. that's something that Six Flags does, especially at somewhere like Six Flags Over Texas, which, you know, it's the original Six Flags park.
It should be their flagship.
Absolutely.
With Magic Mountain.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there that we can negatively say about...
Food quality, I think, is generally poor.
Food quality is, like, pretty middling, and there's a lot of huge, huge, huge lines.
Yeah.
I mean, we were pretty picky today. I think our quesadillas were pretty decent.
Yeah, but those are outside vendors.
Those are outside vendors. And the ice cream was okay.
Very few, not a lot of seating at all.
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, it's like going back to King's Island, the King's Parks, because the King's mm-hmm. Parks are really well-done parks.
They're amazingly designed.
When you, like, step
back, you don't see it until, yeah. like, you think about it.
Until you go to somewhere else, mm-hmm. and then you go back and you're like, man, I really wish that, you know, and the Busch Parks, too, especially uh-huh. Busch Gardens Williamsburg. I really wish Six Flags Over Texas had a huge beer hall-type restaurant mm-hmm. that sat 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, of all the parks that could use a place that could sit 1,000 people... It's a park that ends up being over 100 degrees for 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
People would go wild for that. That place would be full constantly. You could put anything in there, entertainment-wise. Literally anything, and people would go crazy.
Put, like, the worst food imaginable in there.
Yeah,
with...
and people would be happy. People would be ecstatic just to be in the air conditioning.
And another issue I had was, like, it coming off the whole entire concessions and stands thing, is that they are really, really into temporary stands and temporary structures, especially for beer and stuff, where it just feels not well thought out.
Yeah.
And then you run into issues when you do that. They're not providing these guys the infrastructure they need for transactions. So you have dudes coming up wanting a beer, but only having a credit card, but it's cash only.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that stuff where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, if you drop the extra $10,000 a location, which is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you drop that much money and you build an actual stand that looks good, has a queue, you know, has refrigeration, actual kegerators, and, you know, data line, so you can scan a credit card and get a receipt and not just dealing with the lady who has the same the waist pouch that the game people have. That'd be good. Beer prices, I thought, were fine, but
they're
fine. Yeah,
like $7 for a bar. I mean, it's a theme park.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And another big problem I had was, like, and that I liked that Kings Island has, that Cedar Point has, is that a lot of these places now have more adult locations.
Yeah.
Kings Island has the place located near their swinging ship, which, you know, they show sports as a brewery and get stuff. Kings Cedar Point has melts and chickpea and whatever's chicken Pete's and whatever.
Chicken Pete's, you got that. Then if you go, you're still on the point, not necessarily in the park itself, but
Fridays.
You know, you got TGI Fridays, you got Famous Days.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no sit down restaurant at Six Flags Over Texas.
And I think that'd be killer if they had a sit down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like if they had a bar like kind of situation, I think that'd be really nice.
I can't imagine that park didn't have a sit down restaurant when it opened. So it's just a matter of getting
they converted it probably. Yeah. Just something else.
Yeah.
I mean, torn down or whatever.
There's some stuff there, like if you just did like those little things, like, and I'm not saying Six Flags Over Texas is a bad park at all, because I think it's a really good park. Like, as far as
we're getting rid of the bad stuff first.
We're getting rid of the bad stuff first. We're just explaining, like, you know, look, there were people dropping money like crazy in that park.
It's something else. I've never seen anything like it.
But I'm gonna tell you what, if you had a couple things like that. Mm-hmm. They drop even more. Like, I would have started pouring money down the drain even more than we already did.
Yeah.
I mean, you give me a nice, cool place where we could drink beer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's you know, and have, you know, wings or whatever and sit down and watch a game or see a show.
And just, like, just recharge.
And recharge?
Reconnect. Like, huge. Literally reconnect.
Yeah, huge. Also, Wi-Fi. They need Wi-Fi in that park, like, yesterday.
Yeah, the fact that they have they direct you to the app, and they don't have park maps everywhere, and they say, go to the app. And the app just does not... I love the app. The actual app is fast, it's snappy, it's well-designed. It's just that the wait times are never updated, and nothing loads because you're in the middle of, like, 15,000 people all trying to get on the same tower.
Oh, there's got to be... I bet you there's 35 or 40 there today.
Even then, let's just say 30...
It's a lot. It was definitely a lot, for sure.
It's the sports stadium conundrum.
Yeah.
You bring in that many people into an area, nothing works, so you need Wi-Fi. Because, like, even if you have antennas there, the Wi-Fi works more efficiently.
Absolutely.
And you can hook more people up to
it. Cedar Point has it. Kings Island has it. I want to say Great America has it. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But Six Flags Over Texas needs it yesterday. It's not like Dallas is a backwoods place. We're in Arlington. We're surrounded by the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, where the Rangers play is within sight line. AT&T Stadium, you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see downtown Dallas from the rides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an area that is technologically as advanced as anywhere in the country. Like, you should be able to get a few gigabyte lines into here.
And... It's Dallas.
It's Dallas.
Their whole entire infrastructure is, like, expanding every waking day. Like, I don't think there's a day where they are not building new roads or laying new groundwork or anything.
There's freeways going right around the park.
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's always new infrastructure going in, so you can't say, well, we just can't get the lines in.
There's no way.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
they can
drop some big-ass fiber there, and they'll be golden.
That's to me that would be a great investment for them. I'd love to see that. Again, you know, sit down restaurants, a large beer hall or large restaurant. You know, certainly it holds like 500,000-700,000 people, like a really high capacity, big show venue / restaurant. And even if they did stuff like they have an old they obviously are using, like you said, for a haunt, their old stunt show.
Yeah.
Like blast it down, you know, basically just tear it to the ground and put your giant Festos there. Mm-hmm. And go wild. People will love it. People will love it. If you want to turn it into a haunt in Halloween time, you know, you'd be burning money to do it because people will love being in there, you know? But on a day like today, man, that stuff would have been gold.
They should build two of them. They should build two medium-sized one of those venues on either side of the park.
Absolutely.
And then
they could totally do that. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
So I think those are the things that we definitely would like to see improve at Six Flags. And you know, there's a lot of things that they need to do. It's everybody knows that. It's not like a big surprise that Six Flags is imperfect. You know, people trash Six Flags. It's almost like it's kind of like the Walmart of theme parks is the way people look at it.
Yeah, no, that's really how they look at it.
But I'm going to say this, you know, the very first thing I'm going to say in terms of like things that they've improved over the last few years. Last year I noticed this time that we were here, it was really apparent, was their attitude towards efficiency has changed dramatically.
It's a 180, almost.
Yeah, I would say that they are more militant about getting people on the rides and getting rides dispatched than the Cedar Fair parks at this point.
I'd say more than almost anyone else in the industry.
I mean, you're seeing them every time we'd come back on rides. It was like, unbuckle the seatbelt now before the ride stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would tell you, like, we're going to open the gates. You have 5 seconds to go through the gates.
Yeah.
And get on the ride.
And they give you information. They basically say, we're closing the gates in 5, 4, 3, 2. And like, they'll give a long pause, pregnant pause on that one, but they'll do it.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, we have 15 seconds to get this out. So pick a row, get in there, and we're going.
And there's a lot of things like today we noticed. I didn't notice this at all yesterday. I saw the sign for it on Titan, and then we see them today everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where the pouches.
Yeah.
The pouches are great. They have these pouches in the front seats of multiple rides. There's Titan that has them.
Not the front seats, but like every seat.
Every seat.
The giant, back of every seat has it for the seat behind them.
So giant Titan. Runaway Mountain had them, and I think something else might have too. I don't remember what.
Mr. Freeze,
I think, might have had them.
No, it didn't.
No. I put them in the bins.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have these pouches that have a zipper on them. You can put all your stuff in them,
mm-hmm.
close it, and you're done.
And the pouches are bolted to the ride vehicles.
With four, like, heavy-duty bolts. Like, they are not coming loose.
Yeah, and some of them are even divided.
Yeah.
So you can just put your, cell phone in there. Which we need to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But you can put all your stuff in there, zip it up so people aren't climbing over each other to get to cubby holes. Like, no matter how well you do cubby holes, you're still going to have that issue.
Yeah.
Because, like, Cedar Fair, it's all the way on the other side, so people are all climbing around and everything, or you have it in, like, the bins right next to you, and people are all, you know.
Yeah.
But they just sit down, they put the stuff in, and they're good to go.
Yep.
I do like, after Texas Giant, the idea of people going through metal detectors so they can't bring anything on, because we had two groups of people who filmed their ride on Texas Giant, which is the equivalent of, I would say, trying to thread a needle on a bucking bronco. One of the rides. They were like, it was a group of three people.
Yeah, three girls.
Well, I wasn't gonna gender it, but I was gonna say whatever. Three girls,
yeah,
younger girls, clicky kind of girls, and the first set were filming their ride up the thing, and I'm like, put your phone. I'm under my breath. Put your phone.
Yeah.
Then the one that was right behind her and right behind us took out her phone and filmed the whole ride, which is insane to me, to the point where
this is giant. Yeah.
I actually had my right arm up in front of my face the whole time because I knew that phone would come out and smack me in the face if not. And it was real bad. And then we had another group of two dudes who did the same thing and was watching it as we were walking back.
I'm not as bothered by it. Like, it bothers me to some degree, but I'm more or less like, I come from a different generation, I guess, of, because people like, the people that I know, we always used to take camcorders on rides. Mm-hmm. Before it got banned around like 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I more look at it like, I can't wait to see the cell phone fly out of her hand and her to like start crying because she has to go to her mom and be like, Mom, I lost your $500 iPhone you bought me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's my perspective different. Like, I would rather not go through the metal detector nonsense, because if I did that, then we would have bought a locker every single time.
Yeah.
And we would have had to sit down, and every single time we went to a ride, put stuff in the locker and the rest of it. And, you know, it just, for me, it's a different mentality, I guess, just because of what I recall.
Okay.
The old days.
That's fair.
I look at it like that person, yeah, like that girl, like her POV is garbage and it's worthless and no one will ever value it. But mm-hmm. I think of people that shot POVs with huge ass camcorders on their shoulder. But as a result of them doing that, you know, we have POVs of stuff like the CNE Flyer mm-hmm. from 1987. Because if they didn't do it, like, nobody would
know.
No,
we wouldn't know what those were.
We wouldn't know what those rides were like. So, that's kind of my perspective on it. It's one of the risks that you have to take. What irritated me, though, here's what I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm.
The ops should have said something.
That's a good point, yes.
That was what actually irritated me. It's
like, they, so you have...
They had the cell phones out in the station.
And additionally, they have cameras on lift.
Yes.
And we talked about this before, about when Cedar Point, stopped Maverick.
Yeah,
going and up the lift hill. Well, no, they didn't send them up the lift hill.
Yeah.
Because they come down.
Yeah.
But they sent someone out to grab a Game Boy because someone thought that the first lift hill was where the photo was being taken.
So that was where I was irritated.
That's fair, I think. That's very
fair,
because
I think, to me, that showed that the ride operators were sort of taking, just purely getting the train out the station.
Because mm-hmm.
it was really obvious. I mean, like, they weren't hiding the cell phones. Like, it was, like, right here. Like, they were holding it, like, way up in the air and taking selfies. We actually photobombed them.
Yeah, in the station.
In the station. So, you know, you gotta, if you're Six Flags, you gotta make sure that, you know, you remind your operators, hey, look, can you make sure that you tell the people to put their cell phones away? Like, it's a really basic thing. Like, please at least do that.
Yeah, and, like, I understand, like, cell phones are an important part of culture, as I'm holding mine right now, and we all want, and like, there are, you know, and all that stuff, but, like, you can't have those things on rides.
No, and especially... Of all the rides to have it on, Texas Giant.
Yeah, though, I mean, like, if this was, like, Mine Train, we're talking something different.
Yeah.
But Texas Giant, Titan, Batman...
Texas Giant killed a person.
Yeah.
It launched a person through the air on, like, the double up. The very first, like, hill of the ride. Like...
Yeah.
They were able to make it down the first drop, and then coming up the double up, they literally got, like, catapulted to their death.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense when you ride it, because it's that ride is a thing.
Yeah.
That ride is serious. That ride is no joke. That ride is...
And you don't... That's something you... A ride you don't take cell phones on, and...
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you need your professional Rob Elvey equipment.
You need to duct tape the shit out of your camera.
Yeah.
And your GoPro to the train, because otherwise that thing's gonna come off.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
positive things. So now, let's talk about the good things. So first of all...
Efficiency.
We had an awesome day at Six Flags,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Actually, there is one more bad thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
It's just the incredibly long queue lines because of efficiency for basically all the getting into the parks and situated stuff was really bad.
Yeah, that stuff... I think the metal detector stuff, I'd love to see them work a little bit more on that, maybe expand it out. There were some metal detectors that were closed.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, get me a couple more security guards out here and let's get this moving, because...
Same thing with the turnstiles.
Yeah, turnstiles were really long.
Really bad.
Slow lines.
And the Q-Bot stuff, the flash pass.
Oh my god, the lines for the Q-Bots were insane.
It was unacceptable. Like, it was... I've never seen anything like it. Like... We were returning our Q-Bot when we went to go out to get Whataburger and go
to the brewery
and go to Turning Point Beer. I just wanted to make sure I had the name right.
Make sure, yeah.
Good. And they had the line to turn in the Q-Bot where you normally pre-buy it was through all the switchbacks and was going down the block and around the corner. It was
it was probably like an hour
insane.
Late. At least.
An hour wait for a Q-Bot.
An hour wait to save time, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, honestly, this was a very exceptional day as far as crowds at Six Flags go. Like, this was pretty much full queues on everything.
This is if this was touring plans, that would have been a 10 out of 10 day.
Yeah. This was a gnarly day, and I will say, like, the Q-Bot, I mean, we spent good money on it.
Mm-hmm.
We got a gold Q-Bot for us. But damn, it was worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even if you're not doing anything necessarily while you're waiting for your ride, even if you're just sitting down and, you know, having a snack, or just looking.
That's a moment you're not standing.
It's a moment you're not standing in a hot ass queue line with a lot of miserable, angry people.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, like again, like with whatchamacallit? What's the bobsled coaster? We'll get to that.
Lavabora.
Yeah, like you look at that line, and you start counting the capacity of that ride, and you're like, these people are doomed.
Yeah, they're.
I honestly don't know.
Alan, I think they're still there.
They might still be there.
Yeah.
I don't know how people were not passing out left and right. I guess maybe because it's cool to them.
Mm-hmm.
If this was Ohio,
people would be dead.
They would be dead. They would die.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 86 or 87 today for a high.
Yeah.
It was up there. We both wish we had shorts.
Yeah.
And, that's a cruel line any day, today especially so, because it was clean out the end and down the midway. Mm-hmm. And even with our Q-Bot, I think we waited 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Without a Q-Bot, I think it was probably...
3 hours.
3 hours.
Anyway, yeah. So... what else?
I think we should
good stuff.
Yeah, let's go down the rides, man.
Mm-hmm.
Start talking about rides. You know, we did do Justice Elite again today, and like I said, the last screen, basically the conclusion screen, where they you know, thank you for your service of shooting a gun, was there, which was, you know, an improvement over the day before, but mm-hmm. still, you know, still one screen was really faded, still the Lex Luthor thing was kind of dark, still. You know, a lot of the issues like you brought up about, like, you know, where there's kind of minimal contact with the car in terms of the way it reacts to certain things, I think is still there for sure. One thing I noticed about this ride versus the one at Great America that I don't recall in the past is that Great America, I think I've been able to wear my sunglasses mm-hmm. on it and then put the 3D goggles on it and still ride it and see things and shoot. And that was not the case today at Six Flags Over Texas. And I basically went in blind. And I still managed to be second best in the car just by shooting randomly. It's there. It's okay. I think, you know, it's definitely not as good as the one at Six Flags Great America as far as a shooting dark ride goes. Actually, now that we've done it again, like a second time, maybe you've brought me down on it a little bit. But I'll say this, like, okay, I think it's definitely not as good as... Ghost Hunters or Boo Blasters or whatever they call it, King's Island,
mm-hmm.
or the one that we went on in Niagara Falls,
mm-hmm.
which is in really good shape and it's really long. But for most of those 2D sort of like Sally's Ghost Hunter type rides, I think it's probably better than most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Still, but
way better than Hershey's Extreme Cup Challenge.
Hershey's Extreme Cup Challenge is so bad it's better than this.
It's
it's so unbelievably terrible, and all the art looks like it's from Sports Illustrated for Kids.
1989 edition.
Yeah, it's like I can't hate it. It's so ridiculously terrible. Yeah, I would say it's okay. It's not really that great. It's nothing to go out of your way for at Six Flags Over Texas, but I think the other versions are better. Fiesta Texas is probably going to get a much better version of it, because mm-hmm. I know that's coming to them soon.
mm-hmm.
As far as coasters went, we ended up going at Pandemonium twice.
That's a fun ride.
Which is a really fun ride.
That's a spinning...
Gerslauer.
So that's a four per vehicle. You face each other, and you spin, and that's a really fun one. It's like it's a Wild Mouse kind of ride, but not like... for all the Disney fans out there, not like the one in Hershey or the one at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. It's
or Turtle Crush.
Yeah, or Turtle or yeah. It's the layouts are, I think, pretty much identical across the Six Flags parks that have the Pandemonium, so it's like that, mm-hmm. New England and St. Louis. But they're fun rides.
Yeah.
And they spin well and the layout's really good. It starts out with kind of the Wild Mouse layout and then almost has like an out and back section with airtight hulls. And I really like them. They're mm-hmm. super fun. And, you know, especially with the Q-Bot, not having to wait really for them at all is a nice bonus.
Yeah.
Did Batman, which is definitely Batman.
It's Batman.
It's Batman.
Not as good as Raptor, but it's good.
It's you know what? I can see the people that really love the Batman coasters because those things have a gnarly, heavy-duty, like, all positive G's all day long layout, and
yep.
It's just like element, and it's just, you know, I get it, it's a good ride. It's not as good as Raptor. It's not as good as Nemesis. I don't think it's good as Alpengeist or Mach 2 either.
Oh, it's not as good as Alpengeist. Alpengeist is still probably my favorite, along with Banshee.
Banshee, yeah, Banshee's really good too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like those are like my top ones for sure. Like, Black Mamba at Fantasialand is pretty decent, and I've been on Cat Toon, but that's another one of the popular hipster choices. But honestly, like Mantu, Alpengeist, and Raptor are still like probably my top three,
yeah,
as far as those rides go. And Nemesis is up there too. We did Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze was good. Again, exceptional capacity.
Yeah.
Those guys were running those trains like crazy.
They were busting them out, had two trains going. Mm-hmm. So it's got this, it's a shuttle coaster, which means it has basically a back and forth track.
Mm-hmm.
But it has two trains because they have this whole like transfer track that slides.
Mm-hmm.
So one train loads while one train runs. And then when it comes back, that train slides back to be reloaded. And then the train that's just been loaded goes onto the track. And yeah, they were busting it out. They were doing a really good job. I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun ride. They have it going the reverse freeze or reverse blast, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And huge, I don't say I'm a huge fan of it, but I like it. I think it's actually a really cool visual. When we're in the station, we left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get blasted out of there by the limbs. I just focused on the operator.
Yeah.
And it was just like...
yeah.
And you see him disappear, and then eventually, like, as you come back in, you see him, like... and, you know, we didn't really have to go through the queue, so I can't really say anything about the theming, but my recollection of the theming in the actual station of those rides is basically, like, corrugated aluminum.
Yeah.
And some air conditioning and some fans. Exterior's kind of nice. I like it. I think it's a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
Catwoman? Catwoman's whip. I'll mention that we did not do Riddler, which is the Zamperla Discovery, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
The giant Frisbee-style attraction. It kept, like, closing down, or, like, when we thought about looking at it at the end of the night, it was full. And we're just like, nah, never mind.
And plus, we've done those rides a lot.
We've done those rides. We've done a lot of them. Catwoman's whip, we've never done, because it's an Enterprise, but made by Zamperla.
And it's suspended vehicles.
It's got, like, inverted, like, floorless vehicles. Mm-hmm. And, damn, that was strong.
Yeah, that was good.
That was, like, I was, like, I thought about us going to ride Riddler after that.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have a scale.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the throw-up scale.
Yeah.
And I probably, like, there's 1 to 10. And really, like, anytime you hit the chart,
mm-hmm.
like, you have to sort of step back and say, like, do I want to keep doing more things to have high G's.
Yeah.
And I was, like, at a 2. And I said, you know, I think, well, we were still on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was starting to slow down. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm good on Riddler. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to leave.
Yeah.
It pulls really high G's. And it basically is an Enterprise with suspended seating and your feet are out there. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a great light package. Riddler has a really good light package, too. So does Texas Skyscreamer. They built a whole bunch of flat rides over there, and they've got Harley Quinn's.
They replaced a Boomerang.
Yep.
With something that actually has capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
What an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Crazy town. Six Flags actually thinking for a change. It holds 48 people.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, same thing with Riddler. That holds, like, 32. And then Texas Skyscreamer holds, like, 24. I mean, and then now they're going to have the Harley Quinn Spinsanity, which is going to be an insane ride. I think that might only hold 16, but it looks really good.
I think it's more than that because it's double-sided.
Yeah, maybe it's 24.
I think it's either 24 or 32 or something like that.
Rode Shockwave again.
Shockwave's fun.
Shockwave's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Shockwave's a blast. It's funny to think that ride was built in the 70s. And it's got all the really good...
Intense loops.
Super intense loops. Airtime hills.
Crazy airtime hills. Ejector.
Yeah.
Like, ejector. Legit ejector.
And lap bar only. Well, it's got seatbelt, but lap bar 7 over the whole shoulder restraint.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Runaway Mountain did that. Had to wait a bit for it, but...
That was good.
It's there. It's fun.
Yeah.
There was that one screen that I don't know what it's supposed to show, but it was like...
It was showing the desktop, like...
like someone restarted it and they didn't have it set up where it just automatically starts playing.
We did Titan again.
Mm-hmm.
Which we both agreed after the second ride is also still fun. Way better than I remembered it.
Same. I think that maybe just because we were so... when I wrote it, I was way more into the...
you wrote Goliath. Yeah.
When I wrote Goliath, it was more of like, oh, well, I'm used to the B&M out and back, or the Intamin out and back. Super, you know, tons of hills and stuff like
Lots
that.
Lots of airtime, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things I thought is, I think this ride aged better than we gave it credit for.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe partly because of what RMC's done.
Yeah.
With a lot of their turn-heavy designs.
Yeah. What else did we go on today? I feel like we went on a lot more than that.
Well, we did. We went on the train.
Went on the train. Yeah. We think of the train.
Oh, that was good. That was a lot of fun. Texas Giant 4 times. So
that's really the star of the trip, let's be honest. Like, why even front?
Well, we just need to cover everything else.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's about it, really. Yeah,
that might be it.
But yeah, Texas Giant.
Texas Giant.
Shit.
God damn. Alan Schilke.
I think that may be our ride of the trip.
I think so. It's so good.
It's really good.
The only thing that I can say about Outlaw Run over it is that Outlaw Run, because it's shorter, it never has any moment where it peters out at all. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one turn on Texas Giant towards the end where it slows down, but then it turns into an airtime hill.
Yeah.
So, it almost, like, catches you off guard that, like, oh, the ride's not really over, like, here comes more stuff
mm-hmm.
for a little bit. Whereas, you know, Outlaw Run from beginning to end is just, like, 10 out of 10 on the violence extreme scale. Then it ends. And then you're like, okay, wow, that happened. Like, Texas Giant has, like, a little bit of an up and down to it. Like, it has a little bit of change in terms of the intensity, but that's probably good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great ride.
Yeah.
It's a really great ride.
I don't know what to say about it as that we haven't said yesterday or today.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, we got, like, front seat, back seat, over in a nice daytime, all mm-hmm. that. Where would you put it, like, overall for, like, your top coasters, if you had to think about it?
I think it'd be in top five for sure. It's something that I still need to, like, step back from for a week or two and think about. But I think it could easily be in the top five.
I like Maverick a lot, but I feel like I like this more than Maverick.
Okay, fair.
Magnum is
Magnum.
I love Magnum. I know that you're not as fond of Magnum.
I really like Magnum, but I'm not as like I like Magnum a lot. But there's people who love Magnum.
I think I might be on the I love Magnum.
Yeah.
Like, I love the fact that it has ridiculous triangle hills that make no sense.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever design in the modern day. Like,
yeah, that's kind of my thing. Is like, I'm more like, I like Magnum.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not like, Joe, do you want to ride Magnum? It's a 20-minute wait. No.
Yeah.
Like, there are issues with the ride, and it's not my, like, absolute favorite, but it's good. But I don't love Magnum.
I think, you know, because I typically go for the more intense rides for sure. Like, I'm not going to lie about that. Like, Sky Rush might be my number one steal. And having been on a few RMCs before with, you know, like Iron Rattler,
mm-hmm.
this Twisted Cyclone over at Six Flags New England, I think this ranks really, really well
mm-hmm.
with the rest of the ones I've been on. I'd probably put it above Iron Rattler. I'd probably put it right up there with Twisted Cyclone. I think it's easily, it's easily a top 10 ride as far, like, anybody. Like, if you're an experienced, like, top-end hyper-enthusiast type guy,
mm-hmm.
if you have a credit list that is close to or over a four-figure mark,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is basically where I'm at this stage in my life, even if you reach that point, even if you are the most jaded dude out there, you can ride Texas Giant and be like, wow.
That they've done stuff that is just not out there.
And it's the length of the ride,
mm-hmm.
and then the thing that I came back to, and you know, we talked about this yesterday, is Texas Giant is a really long ride. It's got a lot of really great stuff going mm-hmm. on. You know, Mean Streak is based on Texas Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And what have they done to Mean Streak? Well, they made it 50 feet taller.
Mm-hmm.
And this ride is going to be 1,400 feet longer than Texas Giant in Steel Vengeance.
Yeah.
And it's going to have inversions.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about how excited I am about Steel Vengeance. It's going to be... I've said it several times already on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to pick a ride that's just going to be the best steel coaster of all time, like, a very probable answer to that question, Steel Vengeance is probably... It's going to be that, like, Fury 325, Expedition G-Force. Like, those are going to be the three options. And if you have an option that's other than that, like, you're probably crazy, is what it's going to end up being. That's my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be hands down, as somebody that's been on Expedition G-Force, I would be shocked if Steel Vengeance is not better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not been on Fury 325 yet. I need to get down there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Lane.
Yeah,
Lane, I hope you actually want to see me a lot this year.
Yeah.
because there is a strong possibility that between Fury 325 and now that I have a Six Flags membership, because we've been talking about, like, we're like, okay, now we have the Six Flags membership, what are we going to do? Stay with Lane and go to Six Flags Over Georgia.
Yeah.
Because they have an RMC. They have a boat.
Yes,
dark
they
ride,
do. Yes,
really
they
good
do.
One. They also have an adjusted league, which is newer, which should be better.
Yes, they do.
And they have a boatload of other really cool stuff. So... hopefully Lane is excited to have us for a day
mm-hmm.
and for us to get a huge Q-bot, but man, Texas Giant. I the only regret that I have, the only thing that I'm upset about is that I was so busy today that our gold Q-bot would not let us do stuff like book one Texas Giant 15 minutes after the next.
Yeah.
Because we would have gone on it like...
That.
A lot.
Yeah.
We tried to get on it again. Like, our last ride, we came back in, they had some empty seats. And at first they were going to let us stay on, and then they decided not to.
Because they had to clean.
They had to clean.
Or something, whatever
yeah,
that means.
Yeah, we were really busy, we have to clean.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, come on. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Just let us ride again. Let's just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because I would have got a square 5 rides for the day
mm-hmm.
on that, which, given how insane the crowd was today, it was crazy. It was crazy at Six Flags Over Texas. Would have been probably as high a count as anybody had all day, easily. And,
mm-hmm.
God, that's a good ride.
Yeah, it's really good.
Anything else you want to say?
I'm tired, man. Just exhausted. We walked over 11 miles.
Yeah.
We did a lot today. A lot of fun. Six Flags Over Texas is a really good park. Issues,
really,
as we talked about,
yeah.
But really fun rides. A lot of flat rides, which soak up the capacity.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even do the log flume. We didn't do the antique cars. We didn't do really... We didn't do most of the flat rides.
Yeah.
There's a drop tower. There's an S&S that's like 300 feet tall there. There's a lot of stuff that we didn't do that, you know, easily if we had had another day there, like, we could have occupied ourselves.
Yeah, what was weird was one of the things that I saw at the park that I think was a middle... They had a ton of bands playing.
Yeah, they had... I guess it's like an arts festival thing. But they have, like, these cover bands playing, like, modern rock songs. Or what? Maybe their original hits.
Original songs.
Yeah.
Something, I don't know. But they just had bands in, like, three locations. Plus a karaoke station. Which was... karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke.
And it was just really bizarre. And I didn't know how to think about that, really, because they just had so many of them. They had one in the front of the park, one at Justice League, and then one near...
Catwoman's Whip.
Catwoman and...
I think that actually hurt their ability to do, like, safety spiels.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't hear them over the bands.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and also, you know, it's interesting that they did that when they have a perfectly good theater in the back.
Yeah. Think about that.
Saying, I think that they. I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, clearly, you know, music in the park, people seem to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people seem to watch it, not
give or take. Yeah,
yeah. But I think that I think that, you know, it's an interesting idea. I'm not against it, per se. But I think there would have been a better way to implement it if they had better venues for it, which kind of goes back to the whole thing about them having, like, a big indoor restaurant space.
And yeah.
The rest.
Good point. I think that's about it for Six Flags.
Yeah.
What are your any other thoughts on your end?
Let's see. Tomorrow we're going to make a very quick stop over at Sandy Lake to go hit the Pretzel Dark Ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably get on the Krabby Kitty Coaster real quick. And then we'll bounce out of there. And we got to start driving.
Forever. So I think we'll probably cover... Tomorrow is going to be mostly news, more opinions, maybe basketball. Shorter episode, but kind of a general thoughts.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, we'll probably record in the car and give a general closing thoughts. Yeah.
Well, probably tomorrow, maybe we'll do like my trip report as well of El Paso.
Yeah.
Western Playland, Juarez, Phoenix World Wildlife Zoo, and the rest of it.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm exhausted. It's like midnight. We need to be up at like 8:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, about that.
So I'm going to go get 8 hours of sleep and... I need to go to the restroom again because that ice cream was delicious, but lactose intolerance sucks,
man.
Not loving me at all. So we'll keep these snacks here. I'm going to edit this and get this up tomorrow morning, actually. I think that's a better idea because I'm tired.
That's fine.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.